Welcome to this Rock the Flock podcast. Listen to the full two-hour show each Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. on 89.7 WJHO.
Welcome to Rock the Flock for the week of March 16th, 2025. I'm Greg Wyckoff, your host. What is Rock the Flock? Well, just get ready, sit back, and enjoy this show because I know the guest we have this week, God has sent. And I don't need to explain what this show is because I know he is going to show up again. And we're just going to have an amazing one because Miss Maria Segerholm from the first artist from Sweden on Rock the Flock. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Greg. It's a joy to be here.
Wasn't technology really cool that we're on a Zoom call and you're really halfway across the world.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm so grateful for technology that makes it possible to connect like this.
Well, it is. I think it's people can talk negative about technology, but I don't think the Great Commission could be accomplished without technology.
Until
they all hear, it's going to need a little technology.
Absolutely, yeah, true.
Well, I'm ready to get in to hear what God has done in your life. I know what he's done in the past year that we can talk about that, but I know he has had a stirring in your life probably a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be right back with Miss Maria Segerholm right here on Rock the Flock Radio. Welcome back to Rock the Flock Radio. Joining the show from Sweden this week, Miss Maria Segerholm. Maria, I know you have a fantastic testimony of what God has done in your life. And I already know that there are bigger things for you. So we'll be praying about that.
Thank you.
But to be on the show, we have to start off by introing you to the Rock the Flock family. As you can see, now it has grown even further. Because I think Miss Regina Vanderreich is in Holland.
Okay.
And then now you, Miss Maria Segerholm from Sweden. So we're expanding out another country.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, all of the, I'll just make fun of them, the Nashville artists. it's the closest place. I got to get up to see them. It's the closest place to me. We would all be blessed to know who is Maria Segerholm.
So I would say that first and foremost, I'm a disciple of Christ. I love Jesus and I love sharing about Jesus. And my way of doing it is primarily through music. Of course, I do it in other ways as well, but I love making music about my faith. So I work as a family counselor, but the time between my work and family life, I love to invest in music ministry. So God has placed a passion in my heart to sing songs about him, to write songs about him. And it's a passion that he put in my heart already as a teenager. And the road has been bumpy. I probably thought as a teenager that it would happen all at once, but it was a long waiting season until I felt that God started to do what I knew he had talked to me about, but it took time to feel like I was actually in that place. So I've been blessed to release songs since 2021. That's when I felt God telling me that now it's time. And it's been such a blessing to get to share the songs that God has placed on my heart, because I've been writing songs for so long. It's a joy to finally be able to share them.
It's kind of neat, 2021, because I have the opportunity to talk to a lot of artists that the year 2020 was a kind of a year of clarity. How God had worked on so many hearts during that time.
Definitely. Yeah, I've heard that as well. It's amazing. Yeah, it feels like it was a year of clarity, like you said.
Now, were you born in Sweden?
I was, yes. Born and raised in Sweden.
And we talked kind of off air, and I only bring it up because you posted it. So if it's if it's posted on social media, it's legal to talk about
it. Absolutely.
How did your father, being born in Iran, how did he meet your mom? Where was your mom from for you to end up in Sweden?
Yeah. So my mom is, my mom is half Swedish, half German. So my grandfather moved to Sweden from Germany and met my grandmother. So that's how my mom ended up in Sweden. And then my father moved to Sweden during a war in Iran in the 80s. And then they met through common friends here in Sweden. And so I've actually never been to Iran, but I grew up with the culture and the language and the food and a lot of good stuff. So I'm very grateful to have been raised with different cultures.
I was fixing to say this might not be a question for the show, but yes, it is. How does he feel about what's going on right now? Because we know, I know you know, and I know that the word tells us that it's not flesh against flesh. It's principality against principality. And there are a lot of things that we see that are not as they are.
Yeah, it's obviously really rough for him and for all of us to, I mean, I have relatives there, of course, it's really hard to see what's happening, and they've been oppressed for 47 years. So even though the war is happening now, it's been a battle for 47 years for the Iranian people. So, but now it's so extreme. So it's of course really hard to watch from a distance and hear about from a distance. But at the same time, I'm so grateful that we have our faith in Jesus, because that's where we can turn, even though things look dark, even though there's a lot of darkness in this world. We need to keep looking at Jesus and remember that he is the light of the world. And we need to place our hope in him. And even though there's horrible things happening in Iran, there's also testimonies of how people are coming to Christ. So I believe that God is working in the midst of the war, in the midst of the darkness. That's hopeful.
Amen. That's awesome, because it is tough. I work with someone whose entire family, she is from Iran, and her whole family is over there, but how they're rejoicing right now because and I didn't realize all the pictures, I guess we get so busy that we don't see things that happen on the other side of the world. We're blessed here in America, but also it's not a blessing, because I believe it's kind of just wool over our eyes. To see how beautiful it used to be 47 years ago. What a beautiful place. And I love, but I'm glad that God moved your father to meet your mom. That's a pretty neat little, love story.
It is.
We might have to get him on to talk about that. It's neat how God moves, God moves people for his purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some don't have to go far. He had to travel a little bit.
And the thing is, my father wasn't even a Christian. He was an atheist. So if he didn't meet my mom, he would probably not have get to know Christ. So that's also amazing.
Well, that is neat. I tell you what, when we come back, it's my favorite part of the show, because I absolutely love the music. I do love the music. I listen to the artist all the time. I Bluetooth from my phone in my truck. I don't listen to the radio station. I listen to all the Rock the Flock artists because I can say you in this now, you are all amazing what you do for the kingdom. So I think I will be bebopping down the road with a song that you sent me that'll have to go into my playlist. But when we come back, we're going to get into the Word of God. We're going to get into a Bible verse, because if you, like I always say, if you don't have that, you can't have anything else. Well, you can, but it doesn't mean anything. It's worthless. So we'll be right back with Miss Maria Seegerholm right here on Rock the Flock Radio. It's Rock the Flock Radio. Thank you for listening, whether you're on the airwaves of 89.7 WJHO. If you're streaming online at 897WJHO.org, or you've clicked on the Rock the Flock podcast and you just can't get off it. It's because I'm not on a roll. God is on a roll, and he just keeps sending wonderful guests to this show. Once again this week, he's done it again. And Maria, that's what I always say. I'm just the dirty dish towel that sits in this seat, and I get to sit back in amazement of what God is doing. So I thank you again for coming on, for opening up. I know just a little bit of your life. We still have some things to talk about. But thank you. In all that we talked about, you pointed people, the listeners, to Jesus. So thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me. And God is clearly using you as well, Greg. And well, it's a blessing to be here.
The blessing is coming right now, because we're going to jump into the Word of God, because it was, it is, and it will always be the Word of God. It's the only book in the world. That's why they call it the living work of God, because no other book was written like the Bible. There's no other manual to live your life like the Bible has it. And there's no other book in the world that provides you with the path to heaven. So, Miss Maria, what book are we going to venture in for the verse?
So I'm going to go to Hebrews. So Hebrews 10 and 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That's a Bible verse that, talking about my grandfather before, he actually shared this Bible verse on my wedding day 17, 18 years ago. And it wasn't until maybe 5 years ago or quite recently that I started to go back to that Bible verse a lot. I just felt that it had such a big impact on me, because I had been going through a lot of trials, and I just love the reminder that's in Hebrews 10 and 23, that, like, for me, it's a reminder of keeping our eyes on him, because if we're keeping our eyes on him, we will also remember that he is faithful. So whatever we're going through, he will make a way. It might not look as I think it will, but he will make a way according to his plan and what's best for me. So for me, it's hopeful. It gives a lot of hope, and I just love it so much. And I keep going back to it, reminding myself of the importance of holding fast the confession, and like to persevere, because he is faithful and he will make a way. That's the Bible verse I wanted to share.
Well, amen. And I could only imagine that verse was very pertinent to your life. About a year ago.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You suffered a stroke. And that's tough. That's tough to go through, to overcome. Yeah. And I couldn't imagine being an artist. That kind of just puts life on hold.
Absolutely. Yeah, it came from nowhere. You know, you're not ready for something like that, because you wake up, it was morning, and I was normal morning routines. And then all of a sudden, I started noticing that the right side of my body was not functioning all right. And at one point, I couldn't lift my arm at all. And I started to realize that something is wrong. luckily, I caught it quickly and I got help quickly. And I really felt that God was leading me that day, because I know it could have been worse if it took longer time for me to go to the hospital and if they didn't find this kind of stroke, because this kind of stroke was very rare. It's like 1% of all the strokes that are this kind of stroke. So it was really rare. So even that they noticed it on the brain scan is a miracle in itself. So I'm just so thankful for how God was like protecting me that day and leading me that day, because it really came out of nowhere, right, like in the middle of life, like you said, with all music, with all projects, all stuff going on, and it definitely put life on hold. But at the same time, it's been so amazing to experience so much peace, because I mean, the Bible tells us about peace that surpasses understanding, and that's truly what I experienced. I even think about it myself, that it's a little bit weird to be hospitalized and feel so much peace. I mean, people would say, oh, wow, that's so rough. And I would like, it's actually a blessing. It was so weird to feel that way, but that's what I felt, because God was placing other patients at the hospital that I got to connect with and share my faith with. And I really felt that the week at the hospital blessed me in ways that I could never have had imagined. So God was using my brokenness. And even when I was at my lowest and I was like physically not well, He would still use me to share about Him. And I felt a lot of peace. Of course, at times I started to worry, like that's human. You start to read about strokes and like rehabilitation and stuff and the prognosis and you get worried and carried away. So, but I always try to get back to the Word. When the worry came, I went back to the Word, because yeah, like you talked about, it's the living bread, to go back to scripture. And God was even placing a song on my heart, the song that I sent to you. He placed that song on my heart the first night at the hospital. So even when, I mean, I couldn't listen to music because I had such a bad headache and I was not feeling well, but I started writing down lyrics. In the middle of the night, 3 a.m., when I couldn't sleep, I just sat up in the hospital bed and I started writing down some things God spoke to me about. And that later became the song, My Praise Will Never End, that I co-wrote with my friend Eric Sullivan, who also produced it. So I took him in. I wanted to invite someone else to help me finish the song, and I asked him, and I'm so blessed that he said yes and that we could finish the song together. And for me, it's also been so amazing, because my last project before I started working on my current project, that is a praise EP, I actually did a lament EP, because like I said, I've been going through a lot of trials, and as a family we were going through a lot of things, and that's when God placed lament songs on my heart. And I had other plans, but God told me to change my direction. He told me to release those lament songs. And during my time at the hospital, I actually, like you said, life was on hold, but at the same time I had prepared for my EP to release a couple of weeks after my stroke. So that was still going on while I was hospitalized. I knew, oh wow, I have an EP coming out in a few weeks, and it's a lament EP called From the Ashes. And God also placed on my heart, I think a few months prior, that I should write a devotional that would connect to the songs on the EP. And now when I was hospitalized, I had time to work on that. So that was also a blessing, because I it would be hard to find the time otherwise. But now I had time in between that I rested. I could start writing down some words for the devotional. So I wrote a 4-day devotional. And in that devotional, I talk about how God can take us from lament to praise. I talk about how it's important to allow yourself to be in a season of lament, but that God also wants to take you to a season of praise after. And for me, it's been amazing to see that this is my life unfolding. Like, God was literally doing that with me during this same time. So I had just released the Lament EP a few weeks after my stroke. He gives me the song that would be the start of the next project that would be a praise project. So from lament to praise. So it's, it actually blows me away to think about God's, how God has been leading me and writing this story so beautifully all along. And I'm just so grateful that I'm still here, that I still get to write song, that I didn't lose my speech, that I can continue to write songs and sing about him, because that's one of the things I love the most.
It's so neat just to hear another testimony that when you go into a trial of life, that day one of that trial, the vision isn't very clear.
No.
But when you look back on it, like you look back now, you see how it wasn't clear because God was orchestrating. He had already worked it out. And, you know, you can look back, like you said, none of that would have been done if this hadn't have happened.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I love story after story, even talking to people here in town, how they'll tell me they're going through something or went through something. I just kind of smile in the back of my head and say, you know, God slowed them down. You know, because like I told you, we all get busy. We get so busy. And we forget. Sometimes we forget the true meaning and the purpose we have in life. So I'm very thankful that God brought you through that. And that he sharpened the pencil.
Definitely. It's such a blessing.
Well, you got me excited because you talked about your song that you sent me. When we come back, we're going to get into the music part of the show. Are you ready for that?
I am, absolutely.
Awesome. We'll be back with Maria Seegerholm right here on Rock the Flock Radio. Welcome back to Rock the Flock Radio. Joining us from Sweden, Miss Maria Seegerholm. Maria, thank you for tuning in. You know, I just ate lunch and you were at supper time. So this is just an amazing interview. You are an amazing child of God.
Thank you. And likewise.
He's brought you through. He's brought you through a season to be seasoned to do his work. And I knew I was in trouble when we started this interview, because right behind you, every true artist, when they do a Zoom interview, has a musical instrument behind them. and you have a guitar behind you.
I have a guitar behind me, but it should probably be a piano to reflect me better, but it's still a guitar.
What all instruments do you play?
Well, I do play a bit of a guitar, mostly like just self-taught. So it's more, I go to the guitar when I feel I lack inspiration on the piano. So it's mainly piano for me. But sometimes it's so interesting how you can hear different things when you just change instrument. It can be the same chords, but you just get other melodies when you change instruments. So I like to change to guitar sometimes. So some songs I've written at the guitar, some at the piano. But I rather see myself as a vocalist than a musician. But I love to use the instrument when I write songs.
Now, when did you learn to play the piano?
I think I was around 7 or 8 or so.
Early, okay.
Yeah. So I took classes for quite a few years, but then I started to learn myself. And because I thought it was hard to read like sheet music, it was not my my thing. I would rather like listen and try to play what I was hearing. So I went to classes for a while, but I didn't feel like I developed so much. So then I started to explore it myself. Then I went to, I think that would be high school in America. And that was like a music profile. So 3 years I spent there, and then I trained both piano and I had vocal lessons as well during those 3 years. So, yeah.
So we may have to debunk a Rock the Flock myth here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is this true or false? If you know how to play the piano, is it easier to play other instruments? Was it easier to play your guitar because you, I've heard that a lot, that if you play the piano, then it's a little bit easier to pick another instrument up. But I've also heard that it's, if you play another instrument, that the piano is a different animal.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I've never thought of that. But yeah, I definitely think it helps if you can play piano. I think it probably helps you understand how music is built and stuff. So yeah, I'd probably say that it helps you to learn another instrument. But I don't have any research to back that up.
No, we don't do data like that. We just do feeling. So
yeah, sounds good to me.
And speaking of feeling, when did you know that God was calling you to sing for Him?
Well, it was like I mentioned before, God put the passion in my heart when I was a teenager. I think I was maybe 15 or so. I can't remember exactly. But I remember that I was at a Christian camp. And during that camp, I felt God started to talk to me about that. And I had written songs. I had been singing for as long as I can remember. But the songs were not about God. It was about life and friends and other things. But that time when I felt God was talking to me about a music ministry, my songs started to shift. So I wanted to write songs that honored Him. And I remember writing a song. I think it was... When was it? Yeah, it was a while ago. It was a couple of decades ago. And I wrote a song called Heavenly Father. And that was my first song, I believe, that was written with a Christian perspective. Because, yeah, like I said, the songs, the lyrics were different before. But then I just felt that, like, how could I sing about something else than about God? So I started to write, and now it's the opposite. I always write about my faith and about Jesus, and I rarely write about something else, and it's because it's such a huge passion, and I feel like it feels kind of meaningless to write about other things. It can be meaningful to write about other things too, absolutely. But to me, the most important thing is Jesus. So it just feels more meaningful to me to write about Him and different aspects about life with Him. So ever since I was a teenager, I've known, I felt that God put a vision in my heart. But absolutely, at times I doubted it. I was thinking to myself, did I just come up with this myself? Was it really God who told me this? Because why is it not happening? So I was doubting the vision a lot of times, but deep down I knew what He had spoken. So I didn't let go of it, even though it maybe was buried at times. But then, like I said, in 2021, I felt that was the time when God told me now is the right time. And I had felt ready before. And when He told me it was time, I felt, God, really? Now? Because I didn't feel like it was the right time. And I started to doubt. But I trusted God. I decided, okay, if this is Your will, I'm going to step out and I'm going to be obedient and trust You to lead the way. And I'm so thankful that He has. So it's been ever since I was a teenager, the longing and the vision have been there, but it took time until I felt that I was stepping out into what God had called me to.
How many songs have you written?
Hundreds.
Oh my goodness.
It's too many. I mean, I don't even know how many, but it must be 300, I don't know, maybe more.
Well, here's the last question, because this is another fun one I like to ask every week, because I'm old school, and you'll understand when I ask this question. Mm-hmm. Okay, God speaks to you, and he gives you a course. He may give you a few lines that you have to put with maybe something else. I've learned all that too. Mm. Do you write it down? Do you put it in your phone? Do you sing it into your phone and save it? How do you, when you know it's God speaking to you and you know it's a song, a part of a song, how do you record it?
Well, I usually do both. I'd say both.
Awesome.
In that way, I'm also old school because I like paper and pen. Mm-hmm. So I love having like the original song, like when I was working and I'm writing, and then I'm starting a new line, and you can see the process on the paper, and I love that. So
scratching,
I have
out and adding. And,
exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have plenty of notebooks that I like to write in, but it also depends. I like the accessibility with your phone, that sometimes I get a melody when I'm on my way to work or back home from work or out shopping groceries or whatever. Then it's easy, because then I might not have paper and pen. So then I just take my phone and I record it. But when I write songs myself, I usually always do it by paper and pen. Even though I use my phone, I might record it on my phone. I use paper and pen. But I also co-write a lot. And then it's usually like this, digital. And then I love to use the computer. So then we usually have like Google Doc or so. So we can work on it together. So I do it different ways, but when I write myself, I love paper and pen. I love it
old school. And I love that you brought that, because that's a new one for the show, that mm-hmm. using a Google Doc.
Yeah,
you're going back and forth with each other. So
yeah,
pretty neat.
It is.
Well, you sent a, what I would call a, it's just a beautiful song.
Thank you.
Called My Praise Will Never End. And that is something, it's a title that we all need to latch on to. Mm. Because no matter what, like you said before, no matter what happens, no matter what we see, no matter what is done, no matter what is done to us, that's the one thing that cannot end.
Mm.
You know, Paul wrote most of the New Testament in some form of agony.
Mm.
But his praise never ended.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you kind of explained the guts to writing this song.
Mm.
How long did it, from beginning to end, how long did it take you to put My Praise Will Never End together?
I actually can't remember. I think it was a few months or so.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, first I got the ideas at the hospital, then I just wanted to sit with them for a while, and I wanted to think about, do I want to finish it alone, do I want to bring in a co-writer? And when I felt that I wanted to bring in a co-writer, I wanted it to be the right person. So then I prayed about it, and I kept coming back to that I really wanted to ask my producer, the one who produced the Lament EP, Eric Sullivan. So it took a while until I asked him, and then we were having, I think, 2-3 sessions to finish it. So it was probably, yeah, a bunch of months,
a little
maybe
work.
4 or 5, I don't know.
Yeah, a little work.
Yep.
Well, would you do the honor of introing the song, and then we'll play it?
Yeah. So what you're going to hear now is the song called My Praise Will Never End, and it's my testimony, and it's also based on Psalm 28 and 7.
Welcome back to Rock the Flock Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining the show. Thank you to all the artists. Thank you for your amazing music. And thank you for all the, well, every song that's played on this show was a guest on this show. And that's the neat part, that the audience can now go and not follow you, like we like to use that term on social media, but to be able to connect with each other so we can show them who we follow. Mm. But before we get into that, can we go to the Lord in prayer?
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, thank you again for another wonderful opportunity, Lord, to meet another child of God. Lord, thank you for sending Maria to the show. God, I ask that through the show, through the podcast, Lord, that one can be reached for you. Heavenly Father, that you will just walk with Maria, that you will continue to guide her, that you will continue to bless her work. Heavenly Father, that you would continue to send the right people to collaborate with her and the right people to advance her. Be with her. Wrap a hedge of protection around her, Lord. Send angels to walk with her and bless each and every step of her life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, all right, Miss Maria, we have almost made it through an interview. Mm. But now is in another important part of it. How can people, because now that they heard this amazing interview, they heard the amazing song that you sent and we played, My Praise Will Never End, they're going to want to see what you're up to. So how can people connect with Maria Segerholm?
Well, I'd love to connect. I love how you put it before that it's about showing who we are following. I love that. That's so beautiful. And I'd love to connect. It's always a joy to connect with other believers and even the non-believers, of course. So you find me on social media if you search for my name, Maria Segerholm. I'm also, my music is on the streaming platforms, if you want to listen to that. So you can always email me if you want as well. Then it's mariasegerholmofficial@gmail.com if you wanted to email instead. That's also fine.
And I'll put that all in a post, so it'll be real easy for people to click and just connect right with you.
Sounds good.
Now, do you have the opportunity to play anywhere?
Well, in Sweden, the Christian music scene is not as big as in the U.S. So there's not many opportunities here, unfortunately. I really long for more opportunities to share my faith and my story. But I've noticed that it's been easier for me to get my story out in the U.S. or in Australia or other countries than it is here. That's something I pray about. I do go to churches in Sweden a couple of times a year when I'm invited and share my story and songs. But I really wish it was more. But like I said, it's not a big scene here. So unless you're really famous, it's hard to get anywhere to play. But it's like I feel like the online community, that's where I can post whenever I want, when it's convenient for me, and I can share my faith and my songs. So to me, it's been so nice to feel like there's an online community where I can, when I can do that, I can share my faith. I really hope and pray that people will be blessed by that. So, I mean, it's for the audience of one. So I'm just super blessed if someone is connecting with the things I share, whether it's singing or talking.
Now, do you ever go live on any of your social media platforms?
I've thought about it, and I've done it once, mm-hmm. but I think that is a little bit scary, actually. I don't know why, but it's definitely stepping out the comfort zone for me. So I've thought about it. I've done it once. It's not something I do often, but maybe I will in the future. Who knows?
Well, if you do, you'll have to let me know, and I will tag, like, they probably get annoyed that I do, but anytime any of the Rock the Flock artists go live, mm-hmm. I'm on there tagging everybody to go watch.
Oh, wow. That's so sweet of you.
Well, I try to do everything I can do to promote, because I understand the life of a Christian independent artist. Mm-hmm. It's only a few on this show would what I would call have it made. Mm. You know, everybody else has families. They struggle with time. They struggle with finances just to be able to produce a song, have a quality produced song.
Yeah.
Mm. Because I don't know the exact cost of it. I should, hosting a show like this, but I haven't gotten into that yet. I had a producer on about a month ago, and basically told me you pay for what you get.
Mm, mm.
So I knew I took that because I do woodwork, and I know I bought my prices out too cheap. I don't make enough money on what I do because I feel bad about charging people, but I do everything in excellence because I'm doing it for the King. I don't.
Yes.
I'm doing all my woodwork for the King. I work for the King. Mm. But maybe, you know, we talked about Miss Regina Van der Rijt. Mm. You know, Regina talked about coming to the United States.
Mm.
Maybe we can get Miss Marie Segerholm. we can have a connection there.
Yeah.
And get you over to the United States.
Mm, it's definitely on my wish list.
do a few shows, you know, and I'm going to tell you, Miss Marie, you are famous. You know why you're famous? Because you are a child of God.
Yes, absolutely. That's a nice way to put it.
So you are, as they say, top shelf.
Mm.
it doesn't get any better than that. But I thank the Lord that you're there, and you found social media to be able to share your ministry.
Mm.
And maybe one day, seriously, maybe one day, who never knows what this show will be able to do. Mm. Because I believe this show is fixing to take steps to do bigger things.
Mm. Amen.
That, who knows, maybe we can see Miss Maria Segerholm in the United States, in Alabama. Who knows?
Mm. That would be wonderful.
It would be really cool if you were sitting in this seat across from me playing live in the studio. I mean,
How cool would that be? Yeah.
It would be cool. You never say never.
No.
Never say never. Put the Lord in control and know that all things are possible.
Amen.
Through him.
Mm.
Well, Miss Maria, thank you for, again, taking the time, because I believe it is about 7 o'clock at night.
That's true. Yeah.
Have you eaten already?
I have.
You have?
I did it before. Yeah.
So you took care of dinner. Good. All right.
I did. Yeah.
Well, Miss Maria, you are welcome back on this show.
Anytime, you so much.
If God puts something on your heart to share, if it's not a show, we can get on for a segment and talk about it. So in any way that I can help you.
Thank you so much.
You just let me know, okay?
I will. Thank you for having me. It's been such a joy and blessing.
Well, God bless you. That's Miss Maria Siegerholm on Rock the Flock Radio.
Thanks for listening to Rock the Flock. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday evening from 7 to 9 on 89.7 WJHO. 897WJHO.org, 89.7 WJHO on the Radio Alabama app, or on Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.